Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are starting Mizmor Tzadi, and not only are we starting Mizmor Tzadi, the 90th psalm in the book of Tehillim, we are also beginning the fourth book of the five books of Tehillim. This is the shortest book in Tehillim, which runs from Mizmor Tzadi all the way to Mizmor Kuf Zayin, 90 to 107. And this book, unlike the last book, is very much familiar to us. Almost every Mizmor we're going to know and recognize because it makes up some part of our Tefillah. There are so many of these Mizmorim which are chosen for our prayers and can be found in the Siddur. And that already shows us that the tone of this book is going to be dramatically different to the previous book. Although in book 3 it was very heavy, there were a lot of questions about theodicy, a lot of questions on Hashem and his way of leading this world, this book is much more upbeat. This book is much more filled with shevach and praise to Hashem, which is why it is used as the seat of much of the davening we're going to be doing in our Siddur. Let's take a look at this Mizmor in and of itself. This Mizmor is made up of 17 psukim and divided into two basic sections. The first 10 psukim of the 17 are a description about the consistency of Hashem and the weakness of humankind, the temporal nature of humankind versus the infinity of God. And then we shift over into the second half, which is Yud Aleph to Yud Zayin, 11 to 17, where there is a prayer for happiness and success from Hashem. Let's try to delve a little bit into the actual themes. The narrator is looking at the frailty of the human existence and contrasting that with the infinity of Hashem. Human existence is described in this Mizmor as being fleeting, short, and difficult, tortured. There are four images he uses for the human condition. One is, he compares the human condition to grass. Baboiker kechotzir yachalof. In the morning, it would be like chotzir, which is this grass which blows around and passes by, sort of thrown around, has a very short existence, replaceable. The second image he uses is like sleep. For instance, in Pasuk Hay as well, ziramtom sheino yihiyu. That means to say that a person, so to speak, the image is like a person dreams at night, and they can dream, and it feels like for years, for perhaps even weeks, hours, decades, and then they wake up and it was really just a few split seconds during REM, during rapid eye movement. A person feels like their life is long. A person feels like their life is substantial. But really, they wake up and suddenly it's gone. That's another image he uses for the human condition. The third image he uses is like a passing noise, like an echo. Our voices are, or our ears are finished, kamoi hege. There's an echo, a sound, which is really, you hear it. It makes, could be even a very loud sound. But it really dissipates very, very brief, very shortly. And the fourth image he uses is like a fleeting bird. Ki goz chish v'na'ufa. It flies away. It flies away. So to speak, the amount of time it takes when you look up at the sky and you see the migrating geese, the amount of time it takes them to fly across the sky is really what the human existence seems to be, every human's existence, in contrast to the infinity of this universe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After this, the narrator does not give up hope at all. So at this point in time, after the first half of the Mizmor, you would expect the narrator to say, okay, that's it, let's throw in the towel. There's no point in existing. Let's party and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But that is not the conclusion that this Mishorer reaches. Instead, what he does is he turns to Hashem and begs Hashem for strength and meaning. How does he find meaning? Meaning, like, after having described very accurately the human condition, so how does he in fact find meaning? So there's a few different themes which are to be found in the second half, which are very helpful to understand the gist of this. One is he uses a theme of humanity versus all of humanity versus just servants of Hashem. If we consider ourselves as mere humanity, then we really are, so to speak, biological scraps of material. Really, you know, we come, we go, we're replaceable. Nobody's necessarily so consequential. But if we realize that we are Avdei Hashem, that's at the moment when we, in fact, have meaning. We have life. And that's why we see statements like Shuv Hashem Ad Mosai, we return Hashem until when? Vihi Nochem Al Avodecho. And have mercy on your servants. Meaning, if it's just going to be humanity, then it's Toshev Enosh Adaka. Really, humanity itself is really, is going to be oppressed, is going to suffer. But when it comes to the servants of Hashem, that is ultimately when we find meaning. So it's a choice of finding meaning within that specific existence that we have. Another way he suggests that the meaning is found, and I think this is particularly meaningful, Rav Moshe Chacham points this out, is that if you look at Pasuk Tes Zayin, number 16, the penultimate Pasuk, he says a very, very beautiful idea. And that is, he says, Yero'eh al avodecho po'alecho va'adorcho al b'nehem. Let it be seen, or let it be felt to your servants, your actions, and let it return to their children. One of the suggestions of finding meaning is if we are finite and we only live for a short amount of time, then the best contribution we can possibly make to this world is children who continue in the way of our parents. If we're able to have children, then our legacy is not fleeting. It is not finite. It is infinite because it continues. That's another perspective. He also adds that he finds meaning when Hashem spreads out his pleasantness and his blessing over humanity. And therefore, a finite action can now take on an infinite dimension. So when a person decides that they want to, you know, go and, you know, watch a game, that's great and it's wonderful and it's, you know, a person can need that. But that's really a finite action. It remains such. You enjoyed it at the time, but that was it. A person decides to, you know, go to a weekly shiur, a person does Netilas Yodayim, goes and sits in a sukkah, goes and listens to Shofar Rosh Hashanah. Those mitzvahs are infinite. Those finite actions now have an infinite description. That's the last pasuk. V'hino am Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, Maseidenu Konenu Aleinu. Hashem, let the pleasantness of our of yours rest itself on our actions. That's a very powerful idea. Three different dimensions of how a finite existence can find infinite meaning. In terms of the events behind this mizmor, we usually look into this. The koteves, or the inscription, so to speak, of this mizmor is Tefillah LeMoshe Ish HaElokim. This is a prayer to Moshe, or of Moshe, the man of God. So many of the Mefarshim understand this literally, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself actually penned this. And when did he do this? So most of them suggest that this is actually in Vezayas HaBracha, at the end of his life, when he's looking back on his 120 years, and he's looking at all the difficulties he dealt with different people, and he's considering the human condition, and after which he asks Hashem, Hashem, Shuvo, please, Admosavi Nochem Alavodecho, have mercy on your servants. Look, they're just humans. They make so many mistakes. They bicker, they fight, they ignore you, they use your energy that you gave them and give them on a moment-by-moment basis to do all kinds of terrible things. But Hashem still, have mercy on them. And that really fits in the theme of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, in Parshas Kisiso, when he asks Hashem, Shuv mecharon apecho v'inochem ala ra'ala mecho, when he asks for forgiveness, it sounds like that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying at the end of his life. Hashem, have mercy on these humans. They aren't the best. They aren't living up to what they should be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have mercy on them. They're still your servants. That's what Ibn Ezra says, that's what Radak says, that's what Malbim suggests. Most of the mainstream of Farshim suggest. It is interesting to note that this does bring up a question which is important to consider, and that is that if Moshe Rabbeinu penned this, then why isn't it in the Torah itself? So the Mefarshim suggest that this was on a different darga of nevuah, a different level of prophecy. This was not the Hashem word for word like the rest of the law and Torah. This was, so to speak, divinely inspired nevuah, but on a lesser level in Moshe Rabbeinu's for Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why it was included in Kesuvim, not in the Torah itself. But because of this question, it should be noted that there are Mefarshim like Rav Sadia Gaon, who says that this mizmor is in fact penned by David HaMelech and was said by the children of Moshe Rabbeinu, who were Levim. What he is doing is he can't live with that tension. If Moshe Rabbeinu said it, it has to be in the Torah. If Moshe Rabbeinu did not say it, that's why it could be in Tehillim, and that's the way he says it. In fact, there's a Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Daled Amud Beis, which points out that the pasuk yud, which says Yemei Shana Senu Vohim Shivim Shana Veim Vuvuros Shmonim Shana, that the years of our life are 70 years, and the strongest are 80 years. The Gemara says it must be that David HaMelech said that, because how long did David HaMelech live? Only 70 years. And Tosfos says it must be that David HaMelech wrote this mizmor, similar to Rav Sadia Gaon. However, that isn't necessarily a proof that this was written by David, because Moshe Rabbeinu, although he himself was granted long years, he lived to 120. However, his generation was still a generation where the average age span in that time was 70 to 80. So therefore, he's reflecting on humanity as a whole, and therefore does not undermine this suggestion. It is worthwhile also noting, by the way, that there is a Midrash, which many of the Mefarshim quote, which Surah David brings it very clearly, that Moshe Rabbeinu actually did not only say this mizmor, but he said the next 10. So 11 in a row on Moshe Rabbeinu. It's difficult to say this for some of them because they do quote events later on, like Shmuel, we're going to see later on, is being quoted over here. But it is worthwhile noting, as the Da'at Mikra points out, that this Mizmor, Mizmor Tzadi, is the only one of the next 11, which seem to be like a unit, which has a koteves, which has a introduction or superscription, which means to say that it could be that superscription of Tefillah LaMoshe is going on all 11 of them, which is where the Midrash is coming from. In terms of the places of our davening, this appears, where this should be clearly known to us, this appears as one of the added mizmorim, one of the added paragraphs we add to the Pesukah de Zimra of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And it could be because of the Pasuk Yudalad, where we say, Sabeinu baboiker chastecho, unirana novinismecho b'chol yameinu, Hashem, satiate us in the morning with your kindness. So we say it in the morning of Shabbos and Yom Tov, where we feel that satiation more than any other times. It is also worthwhile noting that the last Pasuk, v'hi no'am Hashem elokeinu aleinu, u'ma'aseh yodeinu konono aleinu, u'ma'aseh yodeinu kononehu, which is the last Pasuk, may the favor of the Lord, our God, be upon us, let the work of our hands prosper, O prosper the work of our hands, appears numerous times. It appears on Motzei Shabbos, it appears as we're about to go into the work week. We ask for Hashem to be able to make us successful and find divinity in that. Sfiras Omer, which is the time where the regular work of the field is imbued with spirituality. And Kriyat Shema LaMetah, after we look back on the entire day of work, where we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I hope that there was more meaning in what we just did. In understanding that pasuk, that word, that pasuk in the spotlight for just a brief moment, Rashi says a very beautiful thing, that in fact this was actually said by Moshe Rabbeinu, but earlier on in his life. This last pasuk was Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha when he completed the making of the Mishkan. Think about that. A human being takes a bit of wood, a bit of gold, a bit of silver, and creates an abode which Hashem decides to rest his Shekhinah there. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu was asking, Hashem, look, we've done our own. Please rest your Shekhinah in it. And that's perhaps we don't build Mishkans of the same stature, but we do build Mishkans in our lives. And we ask Hashem, like Moshe Rabbeinu does, please let in our works of stick and stone, let in our works of concrete and bricks, let our Kodesh Baruch Hu find Shekhinah there. The Malbim does point out, and this is how we'll close, the Malbim does suggest that this is being contrasted to any other building that we'll make in life. When we do make buildings of finite material like this finite world, they never do last very long. They never are eternal. There's no such thing as any building which has really lasted eternally. And therefore, he says, when it comes to spiritual actions, na'asehu bosis. It does become a foundation. It is incontrovertible. A person who learns Torah, it establishes the mind of a person. It inculcates into the nefesh, into the soul, an irreversible foundation. Therefore, spiritual actions, says the Malbim, are in fact foundational, and which cannot be found in any final aspect of our lives. A very powerful, very uplifting mizmor. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.